It's December 13th, and I welcome you to the First Presbyterian Church of Westerville, Ohio. We are live streaming our service here this morning. We are a congregation of the Presbyterian Church USA and a member of the Presbytery of Scioto Valley. We are located at 41 West College Avenue in Uptown Westerville. I am the Reverend Mark Gowan. I am pastor here at First Presbyterian, and I will be leading worship today. Leading with me will be Heather Hicks as our liturgist, Lynn Meyer playing the organ, and Jen Spurr providing some her singing as well. Our Especially for Children this morning will be led by Heather and will include lighting the Advent candles. And you are invited to light those candles at home as well. If you are visiting with us this morning, I invite you to post a note on our Facebook page so that we know that you were here. And if you would like to learn more about our church, you can contact the church via Facebook or by calling our church office at 614-882-3155. We are glad that you are worshiping with us this morning. And if you are worshiping live this morning, you are invited to join your fellow worshipers at a Zoom coffee hour immediately following the service. The coffee hour has been posted on our Facebook page. Today we have several announcements to share. The flowers on the communion table are given by John and Glenna Cameron in celebration of their 50th wedding anniversary. John and Glenna's family invite everyone to do a celebration drive by their house between 1 and 2 p.m. today. We also have a few poinsettias here to decorate our sanctuary. This year, these will be the only poinsettias in our sanctuary. Instead, we are inviting people to contribute to our virtual poinsettias. A $10 donation for a virtual poinsettia will go to the Pike County Food Pantry, and you will get, and your gift will be added to our poinsettia brochure that we will publish next week. The deadline for making your donation to our virtual poinsettias is tomorrow, December 14th, so we invite you to call the church office between 9 and 3:30 to order your virtual poinsettia. The Habitat for Humanity Progressive Concert, which was last Friday evening, is now available for viewing on the Westerville Habitat website. The concert is free for the viewing, but donations are welcome as they will help build Habitat's next home in the coming year. It's a reminder that we will be having two services on Christmas Eve this year. First, at 6 p.m. on December 24th, we will hold a outdoor candlelight service on the church lawn. This will be a brief service because we will be outdoors, but it will be a chance for us to gather, light our candles, and welcome in the Christ child. You're also invited to join us at 7:30 p.m. on Christmas Eve, for that is when we are going to post our online Christmas Eve service. And I want to thank the many people who have contributed to this service. And thanks to our music people, to our families that have contributed videos to this, and to Heather Hicks for putting it all together. This service will be available on our Facebook page and on our church's website. Finally, this is a reminder to the women of the church, the ladies' virtual night out will be Tuesday, December 15th at 7 p.m. You can call Diana Westfall or the church office for the Zoom link. Now let us begin our worship service together.
Thank you. Let us be called to worship. God's love has been made known among us, for God has sent Christ into the world that all peoples might live. My friends, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God abides in us and we in God. Let us now worship God and seek to love as God has loved us. Today we light the candle of joy. A child is born to us, a son is given to us, and authority will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Eternal God, Prince of Peace. I know that many of you have younger brothers and sisters, and if not, I am sure that at some point in your lives you have held or seen a little baby. How many of you have seen a little baby? How many have gotten to hold a little baby? Yeah, there's something special about babies. And today we light the candle of joy, the third candle in our Advent wreath. And we are reminded when we light this candle about Christ, who came down in the form of a tiny little baby. And just like with all other babies, they are special, they are cute, they're sweet, they're doing baby things. And we're very excited, right? When a new baby comes into the house, we get a room ready and we get new things for the baby, clothes and blankets, maybe diapers, maybe we get some new toys. But there's always something special about a new baby coming home. But I think there's also a little bit of fear, too, because when we're holding the baby, we want to be very careful, right? Because we don't want to drop the baby, we don't want to hurt the baby. But there's a little bit of anxiety that comes with having a new baby too. And the same was true when Jesus was born, because there was so much going on. You see, by now, Mary and Joseph would already be on their way to Bethlehem. It would take them a while to get to Bethlehem because they had to go on foot. And so they were scared that maybe the baby would come on the road, right? That might be kind of scary. But they also had other things to worry about after Jesus was born, like Herod. Herod was very afraid of that baby, of what that baby might mean to the people and to himself. Because if a new king was born, maybe he was gonna have to leave, right? So there's lots of things that come with a newborn baby. But I want you guys to think about all of the joy that has come from this one little baby who was born in a stable with animals. He wasn't rich and powerful, but he was very successful at helping others and showing others God's love, which is so important. And we're going to talk about love next week, but this week I want you to focus on joy and the joy of having a new baby and the joy that Jesus constantly brings into our lives each and every day. And I hope that you choose every day to see that joy in your own lives. Let's go to God in prayer. Almighty and loving God, we thank you for joy. Joy of a new baby, even in the midst of something scary. We just thank you, oh God, that you have given us the opportunity to choose joy in our lives, to celebrate the birth of Jesus, to celebrate the coming of Jesus, as it's not quite Christmas yet. But we do thank you for the joy and the anticipation that comes with Christmas. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, verses 1 through 11. Listen for God's word. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants shall be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge that they are a people whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture lesson comes from the Gospel of John, the first chapter, verses 6 through 8 and 19 through 28. Hear now these words. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." "Are you a prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees, and they asked him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah nor Elijah nor a prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." This took place in Bethany, across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Here ends our gospel lesson. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord God, these words of your holy scripture are your precious gift to us for this morning. May your spirit guide us through these words this day. Amen. A few years ago, a man was walking in the park and he saw a Little League baseball game going on a bright summer afternoon. He made his way down to the fielding team's dugout and he sat there next to the only boy who was not in the game at that time. He turned to the boy and asked what the score was, and the boy responded, 18-0, we're behind." The old man sat there for a moment and then turned again to the boy and said, "Gee, I'll bet you're discouraged." And the boy turned to him and said, "Why should I be discouraged?" He said, "We haven't even gotten up to bat yet." I think this boy was experiencing Advent at its best. For no matter what the score is in our world, the truth is that Jesus is still coming to bat. Our lesson from Isaiah this morning points this way. Isaiah was commissioned by God to say these words to the Jews who were returning to Jerusalem after a generation of exile in Babylon. Imagine with me, if you will, a motley collection of returning exiles digging through the rubble that was once their home, their farms, their businesses, picking up bits of building material wherever they could to begin the tedious process of making something out of the ruins of their homeland. Today, we might get the same view from watching the television to see the victims of an earthquake or a hurricane returning to their devastated homes. Only the people in the time of Isaiah didn't have the Red Cross providing meals. were insurance companies making payouts or governments issuing low-interest loans. These Israelites had no one they could turn to for help. And yet here was Isaiah, charged by God to speak to these forlorn refugees. And how does he do it? He does it by giving these people a vision, by stimulating their imagination with the possibilities. He says to them, "You feel oppressed? I am here to set you free. You are in mourning? I am here to bring you comfort." Why? Because where you only see the ruins, God sees glorious buildings. Where you see devastation, God sees new cities. Where you see only poverty, God sees prosperity. This is Isaiah's message of hope. What you see as the rubble before you is only the building blocks of possibility in God's eyes. Like the boy in the dugout, 18 runs down is not a problem because we haven't even batted yet. I will point out, however, that this optimism is not without effort. After all, those ruins were not going to become a city just by magic, any more than an 18-run deficit is going to be erased by wishing it away. The returning exiles would have to work and sweat and pay for their promised future. For it is within the very stones of the rubble that they are called to build their new homes. But there is a difference now. Isaiah has helped them catch a glimpse of what it'll all be like, a blueprint of the finished product. The refugees can begin to see beyond the ruins with Isaiah's eyes. In the town where I served before I came to Westerville, there had been a terrible flood one year. Houses all over town had water damage. But it was the homes right by the river that suffered the most, as you might expect. As the floodwaters receded, hundreds of families began the struggle of cleaning up and trying to rebuild their lives. While it was hard on everyone, older couples seemed to have the most problems as they faced this tragedy. I think it was because they faced the tragedy without the vigor of their youth. For many older people, their dreams were washed away with the waters, and all they could see was the ruins of their homes. There was one couple who talked about moving out. Their whole first floor was ruined by the floodwaters, and they could not muster up the energy to even hire a cleanup crew. When their artist daughter came to town, she tried to encourage them and get them to make repairs. But she could get no response from them until she drew a sketch of their family room, their new, finished, remodeled family room and kitchen. It was like the old one, only better, with all new gadgets and appliances. Suddenly, a sparkle came back to the old couple's eyes, and they saw not the ruins or even the old house the way it was, but they saw something in their artist's picture, something new and better and worth working towards. In our gospel passage, John the Baptist also painted pictures, and his paintbrush was with words. Only his pictures came from a different time and a different form from that of Isaiah, yet his too was a vision of a glorious future in the midst of despair. In the Gospel of John, we have a unique picture of John the Baptist. This gospel does not seem to be concerned with the Baptist's appearances or his message to repent like the other gospels do. And there is only a passing reference to John actually baptizing people. Instead, the Gospel of John writes only what is important about the Baptist, that he points to someone else, someone who will come in the future. As John puts it, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. John himself said that there would be one that comes after him, the one who was sent by God. These two passages convey to us what Advent is all about. It is a time to build, to anticipate hopefully. It is a time to see the future as God sees it for us. It is a time to point to the one sent by God, Jesus Christ, the foundation for all of our futures. So often, we cannot see any future for us because we can only see the ruins before us. Most of us are not refugees from some exile, but we do live within damaged lives and have many times faced the ruins of our dreams. We are trapped in dead-end jobs and we can't find a new one. Our nice neighborhood has changed and we no longer feel at home there. Our relationship with someone we love has been shattered and we don't know how to put it back together. Our nation is in turmoil and we can't see how or when it will get better. And the difficulty with the Christmas season is that all these pots get stirred. Even the old ones that we thought were resolved, they come bubbling up to the surface. And then there is this Christmas season. What we need is a messenger of hope, an Isaiah or a John, to point our way for us. Someone who will be the witnesses to the promise of God. And sometimes those witnesses come in surprising ways. Several years ago, a teacher was assigned to work with children in long-term care at a large city hospital. One day she received a routine call requesting that she visit a particular child. She took the boy's name and room number and was told by the classroom teacher on the other end of the line, "We are studying nouns and adjectives right now. I'd be grateful if you could help him with his homework so that he doesn't fall too far behind." And so this hospital teacher went to the hospital, but it wasn't until she got outside the boy's room that she realized it was located in the hospital's burn unit. No one had prepared her to find the young boy horribly burned and in pain. She felt that she couldn't just turn and walk out, so with an awkward stammer, she said, "I'm the hospital teacher, and your classroom teacher sent me to help you with your nouns and adjectives." The next morning, a nurse on the burn unit asked the teacher, "What did you do to that boy?" Before the teacher could offer a profusion of apologies, the nurse interrupted her and said, "You don't understand. We've been worried about him, but ever since you were here yesterday, his whole attitude has changed. He is fighting back. He's responding to treatment. It is as though he decided to live." Sometime later, the boy explained that he came to the simple realization. With joyful tears, he expressed it to the nurses and to the teacher this way: "They wouldn't send a teacher to work on nouns and adjectives with a dying boy, would they?" So what did that teacher do? She only did what she normally did. She didn't let the sight of a badly burned boy discourage her, and in so doing, she became the one who pointed the way, the one who proclaimed light in the darkness, the one who made a path for Advent. And so as we enter this third week of Advent, I invite you to reread the first four verses of Isaiah 61 and ponder them. Ponder them in the light of what is happening in our nation and the world. Ponder them in the light of what is happening in your life and the life of your loved ones, the life of your neighbors and even strangers. And then you might ask yourselves, what way might I be? be a John or an Isaiah to the world around me? What may I point to the coming of Christ? For that is the message of our passages this morning. It may be that we're down by 18 runs, but fortunately, Christ is still coming to bat for us. Amen. Come together in prayer, and as we do, we lift up those in particular needs of prayer, and included on that list is Elaine Russell, who is at St. Anne's Hospital with COVID-19. And we want to include the residents and staff of Bogota and Shasta houses as the virus has infiltrated there. We will hold Gary Harvey in our prayers for his continuing cancer treatment. We want to hold Eric and Marge Fredrickson in our prayers as their continuing health issues. We pray for Sue Lample's daughter, Jeannie, who is also battling cancer. We pray for the family of Beth Drislane, the family of Dorothy Butts, and the families of David Cameron as they grieve their losses. We pray for Betty Gillum and Bill Eaves and Bob Smith and Linda Bixby. And we rejoice with John and Glenna Cameron as they celebrate their 50th wedding anniversary this weekend. Now let us take a moment of our personal prayers, and then I'll lead in our common prayers. Let us pray. O Lord, hear our prayers. Lord God, we utter the words of the season, come, Lord Jesus. For in these words we realize that we need Jesus to come because our world is broken. Broken by sin, twisted by the pandemic. Our world is in a dark and uncertain time, and so we ask for Jesus to come with your strength, your purity, your power, and teach us how to follow you. We ask that Jesus come and show us how to demonstrate kindness to brutality, civility to outrage. Help us to speak once more of hope, peace, and love, and joy, and to follow the paths that lead to life everlasting. Scatter our sin as the sun scatters the night. Lift our hearts at the sound of your voice. Make us bow down at the rustle of your garments. Let illness flee and selfishness depart. Give us wholeness and joy and a desire to love our brothers and sisters. in that love for each other, we pray on behalf of those who we mentioned this morning. We ask that you heal the sick, comfort the grieving, reclaim the lost, repair the broken, guide the worried, affirm the joyful. Shower your blessings on all your children. We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, as we move through this Advent season, we do not move alone. For we await Christ's coming, but Christ's Spirit is working with us already. As we build toward that Christmas morning, may that joy begin to infuse your hearts and your lives even now. And know that Christ is coming. Amen.